We continue with this special program on the independence celebration of the Republic of South Sudan. 12 years down the line, what has been so far achieved in terms of stabilizing the country? We had a peace process that was signed in 2015. It never worked. And then we went into another peace process called the Revitalized Peace Agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan, known as the R-Axis, in 2018, 12 September 2018. And since then, the international communities, together with the stakeholders, have been working very hard to ensure that peace reigns in this country and we get out in the cycle of violence. And there was a body that was tasked to monitor this peace process called the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. It's a body charged with monitoring and evaluating the peace process that was assigned by the parties to the agreement. And I am glad to inform you that in the studio, I am joined by Dr. Thompson Fontaine, who is the Deputy Chief of Strategy, RGMEC. Good morning and welcome to Redi Miraya.
Very good morning to you, Sunny, and it's good to be here. And let me just from the outset say happy independence to the people of South Sudan.
Yes, and you have been here for a long time now and you have been following the development of this country. First of all, if somebody asks you, what does it mean to be celebrating the 12th anniversary of the independence of this country?
You know, I'm sure for the people of South Sudan, it must bring mixed feelings. Mixed in the sense that, yeah, it's a great thing. We got our independence from Sudan. We are the world's quote-unquote youngest nation. But at the end of the day, it has been 12 years of struggle, of toil, of heartache, of pain, of a lot of suffering. And so I can well imagine today is mixed feelings, because in a way, the country has not realized its full potential over these 12 years. It has been dominated by the conflict of 2013, then of 2016, and a lot of focus in the last few years on the peace agreement, trying to get the parties to work together, trying to get the government to do what is necessary. So I'm thinking today, as we quote unquote celebrate independence, that I'm sure across South Sudan there is that. And when you think about it, Sani, you think of the millions of people that are displaced, both internally and outside of the country. You think of those who are yearning to come home, to be there living and making a living in this country. So there is still so much to be done. You know, the promise of South Sudan in 2012 to some became a bitter nightmare. You know, those dreams evaporated. I remember, and I know from reading and from talking to people here, that in 2012, 2013, there was a lot of excitement, number of South Sudanese diaspora returning to the country. There was a great vibe about it, but all of that is gone, sadly. And I think now the focus really has to be on building this peace so that, you know, this dream that was hoped for in 2012 would in fact be realized.
Has one of the people working very hard to ensure that peace reigns in this country, the country is stabilized, and you are monitoring this revitalized peace agreement. Do you think your efforts are yielding any tangible results?
Oh, absolutely. And not because I am talking on behalf of the organization, but let's look at the record. The record is that since the signing of the Revitalized Peace Agreement in 2018, September 12, 2018, we've not had an active return to conflict from among the parties. Mm-hmm. In other words, the parties who signed this permanent ceasefire in December of 2017 have maintained that. We've had the break here and there. We've had these different flaring up of conflict and so on across South Sudan, a lot of it intercommunal. But in terms of the parties to the agreement, we've been able to maintain that level of peace. So that is something that we can point to. To me, that is success. A number of people say, oh, well, nothing has happened. But that's not quite true. The fact of the matter is, and we need to remind people of that, that there was a hot conflict in South Sudan in 2016 that engulfed practically all of the country. That is something of the past right now. And so we've had these gains. You know, we've had the formation of a government. A unity government has been formed. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
We've had the formation of a parliament that is operating, that is functioning like a parliament anywhere in the world. You know, we've had the formation of this joint security arrangements where you have the commanders of the various warring parties coming together, discussing, you know, working together. Right now you have a joint command of the military where at the head is the head of the SSPDF and his deputy is from the IU. So all of these are positive things that we can point on. We can also point further to the 600,000 refugees who've come back into South Sudan because there is the notion of peace. So in a way, whilst we've not realized everything that we hoped to at this point, but we've made some good progress. You know, we've had good legislation that has been passed. In fact, no less than 10 pieces of legislation has been passed from the Constitution, incorporating the agreement into the Constitution, to the Permanent Constitution Making Process Act, which governs the Permanent Constitution Making. You know, we've had some very good pieces of legislation, the Security Act that have been passed to set up the police forces, the military, the fire brigade, the National Security Services. You know, so a lot of good things have happened. But I know sometimes all of this good news gets, you know, overwhelmed or overcome by the negatives, because what we see is the intercommunal violence, you know. We see of the people suffering from the floods. We see of the struggles, of the common day struggles in terms of the economy, how difficult it is, rising inflation because of the devaluation of the currency. So you have all of that going on, and very often we kind of lose track of what has been accomplished. But much has been done. Of course, a lot more has to be done for us to declare a victory.
Yes, and almost three quarters of the independence of the years we have spent as an independent country has been in turmoil and conflict right from 2013. From where you sit, all efforts are being geared to ensure that the people who signed this agreement are committed to implement it squarely. What will it take as the monitor of this agreement to ensure that this agreement is fully implemented and all the articles are implemented in spirit and letter?
I will tell you, I tend sometimes to not to be overly optimistic, to try to maintain a kind of a neutral stance. But I must say that I've been very much encouraged by the sentiments both from the President Salva Kiir, and his first Vice President, Dr. Riek Machar, and in fact, all of the parties to the agreement. And the constant refrain, the constant song has been that they will not return the country to war. And that pronouncement has been made several times by the President, by the first Vice President. And that to me is a great commitment. It's something to hang on to. It's something to reassure the people of South Sudan that whatever happens, we are going to work this thing out together. We are going to work it out diplomatically. We are going to work it out through dialogue and not through armed conflict. And that to me is a great start. And that to me is a great thing. So in that sense, just talking from someone who has been monitoring the agreement, who was there basically from 2017 when we started the revitalization of the agreement, and having seen that transition, having seen how far the parties have come, having seen the difficulties we had during the negotiations to get the parties together, to get them to agree, but having seen the formation of the government, having seen them, you know, these weekly cabinet meetings, different persons from different parties working together, it is a cause for hope. So really, my message to the people of South Sudan on this Independence Day is to continue to keep hope alive, you know, to keep trusting that this thing will work out. Because I believe that from the leader's point of view, their commitment is to this agreement. And in spite of the difficulties to get it implemented, in spite of the struggles, in spite of the challenges, which are many, by the way, I think we're making some progress.
Okay, and according to the speech of the president, he said he have decided to choose this theme of his address for this year, that is consolidating peace and stability, and also to pave the way for transparent, fair, and credible election. And he, in his speech, he's focusing more on peace and stability. Taking on that, do you think with all the key milestone, as your chairman said during the SATIS plenary meeting this week in Beijing Juba Hotel, that there are some outstanding issues that are yet to be implemented? Do you think people should begin talking about election now as a monitor?
Okay, let's talk about the outstanding things.
Yes. Because, so what are some of those outstanding anyway?
Okay, because basically you're talking about elections which, according to the agreement, mark you, it's according to the agreement and according to the roadmap, the agreement initially had a 3-year period from the time the government was formed. It was clear that they could not accomplish it during those 3 years. So 2 years was added on. So that now elections will be at the end of December 2024. So that's according to the new, to the roadmap and to the adjusted or the agreement as has been amended. Now, what are the outstanding issues? One of the, I can break it down into 3 main areas. The first one is the permanent constitution making process. And that is very important. It's important to have a permanent constitution because according to the peace agreement, the elections are supposed to be held under the articles of this new constitution. Okay? So there is that expectation for the, because that constitution is expected to define a system of federal government, a federal system of government for the country. It is supposed to determine what is the size of the legislature, for example. It's supposed to determine whether or not you'll have a president and a vice president. It will determine how you will go about selecting this government. So all of that has to be in the constitution, and that has to happen. Now, the process has been stalled for a little while now. In that the bill has been passed, but the National Constitutional Review Commission that is charged to be overseeing the process of permanent constitution making is not yet reconstituted. There is some work going on to get that done. We were assured in the last plenary last week that it should be done within a week or two, where this commission will be fully operational and we'll be able to take that forward. So that is one. The second one is the security arrangements, because everybody agrees that we must have security in place to ensure that on the day of election and in the wake of the elections, that the country remains peaceful. And the best guarantee of this is to have unified forces spread out all over the country or redeployed across the country. So that is being worked on. We're encouraged to note that in this current budget of 2023-2024, the government has set aside some $50 million to go towards ensuring that the military are redeployed, the unified forces are redeployed, both the phase one that has already been trained and that new training will happen for the phase two. So monies have been allocated towards that goal. So that's the second one. And then the third one, an important one, is the whole elections process. You know, we are talking about the process of voter registration. We are talking about being able to demarcate the boundaries and the constituencies and just how the process will be run. And to govern the elections process is a very important act, which is the National Elections Act. That was in place in 2012. This act has since been reviewed by the NCAC, but it is now before Parliament. Just a couple of weeks ago, the Parliament had some public hearings on this particular act. We are hoping that the Parliament will move very, very quickly to enact it so that it can be signed into law by the President. Once that happens, then the body that is charged with elections, the National Electoral Commission, will be reconstituted and they can take charge of this. So there is a lot to be done still in that regard. But again, it depends on how badly the country wants election. And we're saying that what we really need is free, fair and credible elections. And if you ask me today, are we where we should be? No. But can we get to there? I believe we can, but it will take a lot of hard work. It will take a lot of commitment. It will take a lot of the country deciding that is the way that we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, and even in the speech of the president on the 12th anniversary, he is talking about conducting a free and fair election, and almost all the previous speakers who are sitting where you are, they are all talking about for us to have a peaceful South Sudan, we must go for election as a country, so that we have an elected government who will be accountable to the people, because the government we have right now, the call came through the revitalized peace agreement. It's causing a lot of challenges to maintain 5 vice presidents, for example, and a huge government where the expenses are huge. So the question is, can all what you have listed, the 3 key issues, can it be done before December 2024?
Yes, I think the answer to that is yes. I believe the forces can be redeployed, can be trained and redeployed across the country for security purposes. I believe that the permanent constitution can be completed during that time. And I also believe that the elections process can be done. Again, if it has the necessary resources and the political will, it can be done. You know, but it's something, and as you rightly pointed out, everybody is saying, well, let us have the elections, because in a way the legitimacy of this government will expire in February of 2025, according to the agreement. So what next? And the obvious thing is elections, because bear in mind, this whole peace process was never intended to be a never-ending process. It wasn't intended to have a fixed term, a fixed period, during which you lay the groundwork and you go to have this legitimacy of a government or a government being legitimized by its people, mm-hmm. through an elections process. So the peace agreement is not an end in itself, but it was geared towards something. It was geared towards those elections. So it's not surprising to me that everyone that you speak to are saying, let us go ahead. But what we just want to caution as a monitoring body is that we need to put in place. In other words, you don't go so quickly, you're just so enthusiastic that you rush ahead without doing what is necessary. It is very important to do those things set out in the agreement, because that is what's going to guarantee that the elections are incident-free, that people accept. Because what you want at the end of the day is an elections that the people of South Sudan feel satisfied with, that they can accept the results of those elections, because that's as important as the election itself.
And this 12th anniversary is being celebrated by many South Sudanese amidst a lot of challenges. There are South Sudanese who have been displaced not once, not twice, but more. There are South Sudanese who were displaced and they took refuge in Sudan. And they were hoping that Sudan would be a safe haven for them. But now they have also been displaced again by the ongoing fighting in Sudan. They are back to South Sudan, living now, some of them in POCs, some of them in IDP camp and all this. The question we want to find out from you is, with all this initiative internal here, what more can the external, I mean in this scenario, the international friends, partners and well-wishers do through RGMEC to support the smooth implementation of this revitalized peace agreement? But because what we have seen is, it's like some of these superpowers have taken a back seat in terms of supporting the peace process. It's not like the way we saw it in 2015.
You know, I'm glad, I'm very happy that you raised this issue, because sometimes we get lost in all of the discussions about elections and so on, and we forget at the heart of this, at the heart of all of this, are the people of South Sudan. A good portion, a good segment of which are, as you said, still in refugee camps, still displaced, still suffering. And also the everyday South Sudanese having to deal with high inflation, having to deal with issues of, you know, having lost their homes during the conflict. We have the issues of land grabbing. We have a lot of different things that concerns the average South Sudanese. And these are things that needs to be looked at. So in terms of the refugees and the coming back to South Sudan, within the agreement, within Chapter 3 of the agreement, which deals with the humanitarian situation, it makes allowance for a national reconstruction fund that is supposed to be started by this government. And the government is supposed to contribute $100 million towards it. And the idea is that once this $100 million is contributed in good faith by the government, that the rest of the international community can now step in and support those efforts that would really help to resettle the refugees, allow them to return in dignity, to get resettled in their homes and so on. So very recently, in fact, just last week, we had a discussion with some of the international persons here, some of the international representatives, talking about this very same issue. And they continue to insist that the government is the one to get the ball rolling. And so we've made it very clear to the government of South Sudan that they need to at least do this reconstruction fund. They need to set up the board, because at the heart of this is a board that needs to be set up that will be made up of both the government officials, government here of South Sudan, and the international community. So that is one way by which the international partners can actually partner with and contribute towards the alleviation of the suffering here in South Sudan. And so we're hoping that this can be done, because otherwise the international community is doing its part in the humanitarian efforts. We know, for example, the US contributes close to $2 billion a year towards humanitarian efforts. The European Union does the same. France, Sweden, the Netherlands, all of these countries contribute on an almost daily basis towards the health sector, towards education. They're doing their bit, but we believe that a lot more can be done in terms of tackling this particular problem of the refugees and also the suffering of the people of South Sudan.
Okay. When you meet with these international partners, what are their major concerns in terms of achieving a lasting peace in South Sudan?
Well, their major concern has been and continues to be the slow pace of implementation. I mean, they always talk about the fact that the government is not doing enough, quickly enough. And we tend to agree, because if you read our reports, if you listen to the our chair, General Gitwai, at the plenary, we're always singing, and people say, you're saying the same thing. We're saying the same thing, like, yeah, we're like a stock record. And the reason for that is because it is a fact that the implementation is not going as quickly as we would have liked. All right? And that's the reason why we had this extension of the roadmap, because of the slow implementation. So the international community strongly believes that a lot more can be done. And that was part of the frustrations that led the U.S., for example, to withdraw its support from JMEC and from CITISAM, because they felt that things were just going way too slowly. Okay, so we need to, I believe, really quicken the pace, especially now. We have a clear... I mean, next year is, we're talking about 17 months to go. You know, 17 months is little time. You know how quickly time goes. And so the focus has to be, how can we do those things that I highlighted? Yeah. How can we get them done in a way that the people of South Sudan are satisfied and that they can go and choose their own government?
Picking on from what you said, people always say that you say the same thing over and over again. And there are also some people who have blamed RJMEC for not doing enough. They were expecting RJMEC to be like this class monitor who always write the names of the noisemakers and submit it to the head teachers for punishment. So they're not seeing a vibrant RJMEC really doing their job and making sure disagreement is going the way it's supposed to go.
You know, the easy response to this question is to say, yes, I see where they're coming from. But I suspect and I believe, quite frankly, because there is a lack of understanding as to what exactly the role of RJMEC is. And I think to some extent that is on us, because we have not probably done a good enough job of explaining to the public what exactly our role is. All right, and our role is clearly defined in the agreement. Chapter 7 of the agreement clearly sets out what we can and cannot do. So we are not an enforcement agency, okay? We cannot enforce anything. The guarantors of the agreement is IGAD, the IGAD heads of state and government. They're the guarantors of the agreement. What they allow RJMEC to do is to monitor, evaluate, and provide oversight. And then we then report to them. So any kind of actions that has to be, any type of corrective action, any type of caning or detention has to be done by the IGAD heads of state and government. That is their role. Our role is very, very clear. So we're going according to, we sound the alarm. So for example, it was at the time JMEC, under the leadership of Festus Mogae in 2017, who said that this agreement is going nowhere. Let us revitalize it. It was part of that monitoring and evaluation that allowed him to come to the conclusion that we need to do something drastic to change the fortunes around of this country, and we got to revitalize peace agreement. Similarly, we are monitoring the evolution, the way this agreement is going, and we are saying, well, this needs to be done. This other thing needs to be focused on, and that's what we've been able to do. So, for example, 2 weeks ago, the head of RJMEC, General Charles Gitwai, was in New York addressing the United Nations Security Council and laying out clearly to them what needs to be done, because the United Nations is also part of this agreement. the African Union is part of this agreement. So, and he was able to lay out very clearly what he considers to be the critical things that needs to be done. And he was making an appeal to the international community to reach out and support South Sudan. They need support. Now is not the time to leave the child on its own. The child needs the support of the family, the United Nations, IGAD, the African Union, and that is where the focus has to be. And so, in a way, that is what we can do. So our check and appeal to the United Nations, appeal to governments. And in addition to that, he held a series of bilateral discussions with the representative of the United States, representative of China, to reinforce the message. Now is not the time to be hands off on South Sudan, but now is the time to engage. They need the help. They need financial support, especially for the DDR process. As you do the security arrangements, you need to take care of those who are not going to be reabsorbed into the security services. The international community can help in that regard. They can help, as we said, through helping in the humanitarian resettlement of the refugees and so on. So there are different areas that the international community can help that will allow the implementation of the agreement to move apace, to increase in speed, quite frankly, and get us to that point in 2020, in December of 2024.
And finally, Thompson, what is the RGMX message to the people of South Sudan on this 12th anniversary of the independence of South Sudan?
You know, when I woke up this morning and I remembered I had to be here this morning,
yes,
I was thinking of the same thing. I was thinking, what can we say to the people of South Sudan? And what I came up with is this, quite simply, that to remind the people of South Sudan that this has not been an easy road. It has been difficult. It has been fraught with a lot of challenges, a lot of danger. But at the end of the day, we count the blessings of a relatively peaceful South Sudan, one where the permanent ceasefire is holding, one which the agreement has made a difference because it has been able to ensure that the former warring parties, they now sit together to discuss the future of this country. Instead of fighting each other, they're in dialogue. They're working on the various commissions. They're working in parliament. They're doing what is necessary to build this country together. And I think that needs to be lauded. And of course, there are a number of issues in the economy, for example, that persist that will touch the lives of everyday South Sudanese. These issues can be worked on, but the important thing is to stabilize the country as far as its security is concerned, build a good way towards election, and then tackle all of these issues, the issues of the oil resources, the issues of governance, the issues of administration, the issues of corruption. All of these, which is contained within the agreement, can be dealt with if the people of South Sudan continue to exercise the will and just the desire to see real change in this country.
Dr. Thompson, thank you so much for coming. And once again, we wish you all the best. And we look forward to talking to you some other time on a different note on this revitalized peace agreement. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And that was Dr. Thompson Fontaine, Deputy Chief of Staff Strategy, the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, RGMEC, talking to us on this 12th anniversary of the independence of South Sudan.